This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. It's been a year since Illinois became the 11th state to legalize marijuana last January. On the first day of sales, legal cannabis in Illinois brought in nearly $3.2 million, with a total of almost $11 million in the sales by the end of that week, according to the state. Since legalization, marijuana is on pace to top more than $1 billion in total sales for 2020. In addition to sales, we're going to be talking about the social equity part of the law and how well Illinois has fulfilled its intentions in that regard. On New Year's Eve, Governor J.B. Pritzker expunged nearly 500,000 old cannabis cases. Joining us today to give us an update on marijuana in Illinois since it became legal a year ago is Chicago Sun-Times marijuana reporter Tom Shuba. Tom, welcome to the 21st.
Hey there. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is Marijuana Business Daily reporter Bart Shaneman. Bart, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, we're joined by Michael Mandera, owner of Herbal Care Center, which is a dispensary in Chicago. Michael, welcome to the 21st.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
So in a matter of a year, marijuana in Illinois went from being illegal to being named an essential business amid the pandemic. Since its legalization, recreational marijuana sales have climbed steadily since last year. Tom, can you tell us about the demand for both medical and recreational marijuana in Illinois over the past year?
Sure. So first year sales did hit just got to $1 billion. So there was $669 million worth of recreational cannabis sold statewide and $331 million in medical cannabis. The demand is huge. How big the market could potentially be, we don't really know because, you know, the number of outlets that are selling cannabis and how much cannabis is being grown is limited by licensing so far. But, you know, by all accounts, the experts I've spoken to have said that, you know, we could potentially have one of the largest cannabis markets in the country.
Fascinating. And, you know, that's a good point you made about the difference between medical sales and recreational. I was perhaps being a little overdramatic earlier when I said it went from zero to a billion, because there was already that built-in floor of medical sales. Michael, let me ask you, you're the owner of a dispensary. How would you describe your first year of sales, legal sales, amid the, you know, coronavirus pandemic happening at the same time?
Sure. Yeah, it was definitely a unique time for the Illinois market because we had just went open recreation to the public on January 1st. And then obviously the pandemic started to hit February and March. So we really only had, you know, a few months of normalcy per se, but, you know, being deemed essential was great for the industry. I think it was able to shine a light and garner some more curiosity amongst consumers, more open to forms of relief from anxiety, stress, and any depression that might be going on during this time. And, you know, during the first year, the industry has been great that we've been able to fill a budget hole of over $100 million, while other industries have maybe been a little more depressed during this time. And, you know, from January 1st till now, I've definitely seen supply, you know, work its way towards demand. So we've been able to supply, you know, them with the products that they need and deserve. And, you know, we've done some great things like curbside pickup, pre-ordering, expanding the medical program with its qualifying conditions. So overall, it's been a big success and, you know, every day's new.
Just over a minute until we need to take a break on the show here. But what drew you to opening a dispensary? How did you get into this field?
Yeah, it was a license that we were awarded in 2014. We've been open since 2017, obviously serving medical. And, you know, we really just, our main focus is being a good community neighbor to the area. I think, you know, we've helped fight that cannabis stigma, showing, you know, crime doesn't go up in these areas. It's safer, it's regulated, and really just being an attribute to the neighborhood and allowing more access to everybody has been a huge plus for us.
And did the pandemic, I mean, slow things down in any way, even at the beginning, or were you able to just kind of keep up?
In the beginning, it was really just a supply issue, especially on the flower end. You know, people need to realize that it does take 3-4 months to grow cannabis, and, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. So that was our biggest fight on the dispensary side, was being able to properly supply. You know, we were fighting the recreational angst and, yeah, you know, urge to come in, and now we've come and we have to take care of our medical patients too. So supply was our biggest hiccup.
Okay. We need to take a break. We're going to continue this conversation, sort of looking back at the first year of legal recreational marijuana sales in Illinois. You're listening to The 21st. More to come. Stay with us. This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're talking about year one of legal recreational marijuana sales in Illinois. Overall, the industry, both recreational and medical marijuana, topped $1 billion of sales, as we just heard, in 2020. We are speaking with Tom Shuba, who's marijuana reporter at the Chicago Sun-Times, also Michael Mandera, owner of Herbal Care Center, which is a dispensary in Chicago, as well as Bart Shaneman, who is a reporter at Marijuana Business Daily. And Bart, I want to bring you into the conversation now. We got a voicemail about this from Sam in Buffalo Grove, and he is thinking about recreational marijuana prices in Illinois. Let's listen to what he said.
My experience of buying marijuana in Illinois was the same that it has been in other states that it's legal. After living in Colorado for 4 years, I was used to the process of identifying myself at the dispensary and with an ID, and checkout process was all the same. The only difference that was blatantly clear was the price. Buying marijuana in Illinois was 5 times more expensive than it is in Colorado, and I would even say when it was illegal in Illinois, it was a lot cheaper than it was being legal.
Okay, Bart, can you address that? How do Illinois' prices for recreational marijuana compare to other states where it has been legalized?
Yeah, well, I mean, the first thing I would say is that's completely normal. You know, new markets usually take a while for production to kind of start to ramp up. Michael alluded to this earlier too. Like, you know, it takes a while to grow flower, and you know, as the markets become a little bit more mature and production ramps up, then you start to see prices come down. You know, it'll come down on the wholesale side, and then that gets passed on to the consumer. So yeah, I mean, Colorado has really low prices, but we've been doing this for a long time here, relatively long time. So, you know, as Illinois continues to license more cultivation facilities and more growers come online and start to, you know, build out their facilities and ramp up their production, then consumers in Illinois should expect to see prices come down.
And do you see, is there a competitive element as other states have come online? I mean, is there interstate competition for this, or is it mostly intra-state competition as more dispensaries, you know, as more licenses are issued? Does that affect the price?
Some. I mean, you know, the way that the regulations are right now, since cannabis isn't federally legal, you know, each state is kind of operating as its own entity, and you know, there's no interstate commerce going on right now, but yeah, I'm sure you know, Illinois and Michigan are competing for consumers in that region that are probably coming from other states to buy recreational marijuana as well. So yeah, so there probably is some competition, I think, probably just, you know, regionally between the states that do have adult use laws and programs.
Mm. All right, Tom, you reported on statewide tax receipts from recreational marijuana sales, which are now apparently catching up to tax collections from booze. And you reported in November taxes from recreational marijuana sales were just under $3 million of the roughly 3 million from the $25 million the taxes that are collected through alcohol sales. Can you talk about why taxes from recreational marijuana have gone up so much in the last year?
Well, the tax rate for buying marijuana is much higher than alcohol and a lot more complicated. So the tax haul is, you know, competitive, but it doesn't reflect that, like, as much marijuana is being sold as alcohol is being sold. So there's kind of a distinguishing point there, I guess, in that.
Yeah, that is a very good point. A much lower tax rate on alcohol, much higher tax rate on marijuana. Do you expect, though, that recreational marijuana will surpass the tax collections from alcohol?
Yeah. I mean, the tax rates are going to stay the same, and how much cannabis is being sold is going to keep going up. People are getting more and more comfortable going to dispensaries. They're, you know, as your other two guests have said, you know, the supply issue has kind of started to be addressed now. There's a lot of product, a lot to choose from in stores. People are getting comfortable going. There's, you know, these systems for, you know, pickup that are good for during the pandemic. So as more and more people kind of start making their way into the store and getting comfortable, you know, in the dispensary system, I think we'll see cannabis revenues definitely outpace alcohol just because of those reasons.
Mm. All right. I want to move now to the social equity aspect of the marijuana legislation in Illinois. According to a study from the American Civil Liberties Union, Black people in Illinois were 7 times more likely than white people to be arrested for marijuana possession, despite similar rates of usage. We, as I mentioned earlier, on the last day of last year, Governor Pritzker expunged about 500,000 cannabis cases. This clearing of cases was written into the law that legalized marijuana in Illinois. The state has a deadline in 2025 for completing automatic expungement at the state level. I guess, Tom, I'll start with you. Do you expect the state to meet that deadline, exceed, you know, beat it to that deadline? Where is Illinois in terms of this, you know, trying to redress some of the past criminalization of marijuana?
I think the expungements that Pritzker did, I think it was about 500,000 or something. Those were all ahead of schedule. So I do think, the state will get that done. This has been a bright spot of the program, is some of the criminal justice stuff. And, you know, maybe the brightest spot is that, you know, individuals aren't being arrested for these charges of, you know, less than 28 grams of cannabis, small scale possession of cannabis. So, I expect them to. I know in the county level, in Cook County, Chicago's county, Kim Fox has been really adamant about kind of using expungement as a tool as part of kind of her social justice push. And she's even told me that she wants to go further than that and potentially expunge possession cases for hard drugs like cocaine or heroin. So not only do I think they'll, you know, this is something that they definitely have their eye on and are making sure that they meet these deadlines under statute, but that it might, you know, spur even greater drug reform efforts through expungement.
I'm going to reintroduce my guests. If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. I'm speaking about sort of recapping year one of legal recreational marijuana in Illinois. About a year ago on this show, we did a week focused on cannabis in Illinois, and now we're revisiting that after a year of sales. We're speaking with Tom Shuba, who's covers marijuana for the Chicago Sun-Times. Bart Shaneman is a reporter at the Marijuana Business Daily. And also with us is Michael Mandera, who's the owner of the Herbal Care Center, an independent dispensary in Chicago. I want to, Bart, before we move off of this, the sort of past criminal records, can you remind me what are the sort of three, I understand there are three groups of marijuana-related records eligible for some sort of expungement. Can you talk about that?
Oh, sorry. We typically don't really write about the kind of expungement part of things. We're more of a B2B publication, but I can answer any other questions about the social.
Sure. Fair enough. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Let me just move on. We're short on time anyway. So, Tom, let me also ask you about expungement is one aspect of sort of the justice and equity thing that the sponsors of the marijuana legislation were working on here. But they were also trying to address the impact of the war on drugs on communities of color, where Black Americans, Latino Americans were disproportionately arrested, locked up for cannabis crimes. And it put in these social equity goals, right, to give more opportunities to people from those communities to participate in the marijuana market. Tom, you reported last month that there's not a single licensed marijuana business that counts a person of color as a majority owner, and that legal marijuana in Illinois continues to be dominated by a small group of white-owned, financially well-backed corporations. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so, you know, this was in talking to different advocates who kind of flagged that, detail that, you know, the minority ownership. The whole aim of this was to bolster minority ownership, right? And there was, you know, social equity provisions with the application process to make sure that kind of they got on the fast track to get licenses and got additional points. State Rep. LaShawn Ford, you know, has called this an epic failure. He's represents portions of the west side of Chicago, and he's been part of a working group. Basically, what happened was the state announced last year that there were 21 groups that had qualified for a lottery for the next 75 standalone recreational licenses. These were the first licenses that weren't, that aren't being given to like the existing players from the medical industry who were kind of given a head start to help make sure the industry got up and running. Those licenses, you know, once it was found out that a lot of those 21 groups included people, you know, rich folks or people with ties to the industry or former regulators, even there was a lot of animosity from losing applicants and Black and brown applicants. And so lawsuits followed, and basically the state is now giving the over 900 other groups who didn't initially qualify for the lottery, a chance to, or certain groups from that batch, the opportunity to remedy their applications and get into that lottery. But at the same time, what we have happening is, and this is happening in real time right now, is the legislature is considering creating 75 additional licenses that would be available to those same group of losing applicants. That passed the Senate overnight. It could get a vote in the House today. It could not. But so there's definitely on the end of lawmakers who were pro-equity, an effort now to kind of right the wrong of what happened with that first batch that still has not been let loose.
Michael, I wonder if you can, as the owner of a dispensary, you've been in this field for a long time, what do you make of the other businesses that you've seen come online in the last year or so in terms of the social equity aspect of things?
Yeah, I mean, on our end, you know, we fit the social equity, you know, description before that definition was even described, and we're all for, you know, inclusion. And I'm a member of the Minority Access Committee on the Cannabis Business Association, and Pam Althoff, who runs the board, has done a great job on working with the state, and you have to give credit to them for working towards inclusion. And, you know, I'm looking forward to those 75 or additional 75 licenses to be awarded, and, you know, have new players in the game, have new faces, and, you know, I give credit to them wanting to make it more equitable.
Bart, last question to you. What are you watching for, Bart Shaneman with the Marijuana Business Daily? What are you watching for out of Illinois in the next year as the legal marijuana sales continue here?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the things we've been talking about already, just these new licenses that are, you know, going through the legislature right now. I think that's going to be huge. I mean, the numbers are strong already, but, you know, if you add 75 more retail licenses, if you add more cultivation permits, I mean, there's 40, I think, craft cultivation permits yet to be awarded. I think that the sky's the limit really for what can happen in Illinois. You also have some very strong multi-state operators that are based in Illinois that are, you know, operating in several states across the country, and those businesses are going to continue to flourish and do really well. So yeah, you know, Illinois is a very attractive market for entrepreneurs and investors, and I think it's just going to continue to grow.
Sky's the limit for Illinois. That sounds like it'd be a good name for a dispensary, too. All right, that I digress, though. My guests have been Tom Shuba, Bart Shaneman, and Michael Mandera. Thank you all for being with me today to talk about this on the 21st.
Thank you.
Listeners, if our show was preempted by NPR's live coverage of the impeachment debate in Congress, it means you're probably hearing us on a rebroadcast. I wanted to take the opportunity to mention you could have heard us already if you were subscribed to our podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. You can find links to those and other services at our website, which is 21stshow.org. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.